The Holy Gospel according to St. John from the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Our Gospel this morning is from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31, and can be found on page 1686 in your pew Bible. John records, "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came, and he stood among them, and he said, 'Peace be with you.' And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them, and he said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.' Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came, and he stood among them, and he said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.' And Thomas said to him, 'My God, my Lord.' Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.' Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." You may be seated. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So, as I said earlier, today is the second Sunday of Easter. Hallelujah. He has risen. Hallelujah. And we read that he has appeared to some, which brings us to today. Today is, it's not actually, but I called it this, all right? So this isn't out of the scripture, but today is Roll Thomas Under the Bus Day. I needed to put that in there, though, because that's not good theology. But, you know, basically, Thomas is getting rolled over the bus. He didn't even hear the backup. And we know that there are people in this world who have never, ever picked up a Bible, but they know, they have heard the term doubting Thomas. And the truth is that this label, it's inaccurate. And it's unfair. You need to remember with me that last week was Mark 16, verses 1 through 8, and we had heard about the bunch of Marys. Mary was a common name. A whole bunch of Marys. And other women are going to the tomb to prepare the body of Jesus. And that they found the stone had been rolled away upon entering. They saw an angel. And the angel told them that Jesus was not there, that he had risen as he had said he would. And this account is also recorded in Luke 24. However, I do want to share with you Luke 24, verses 10 and 11. Luke recorded, and he was interviewing first eyewitnesses there, right? And so Luke records, "Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them, the apostles, an idle tale, and they did not believe them." Did you catch that? They, meaning the apostles, did not believe them, the girls, Mary. And at this precise moment of time, the disciples were just as doubtful. They flat out did not believe. They were pagans. They were unbelievers. And so, Thomas missed out on an appearance of Jesus. And he said, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into his side," "I will never believe." John 20, 25. Okay, so Thomas is a doubter, but he's not the only doubter, but he is a pagan unbeliever as well. The point is that he was no better, no worse than any of the other apostles. They were all unbelievers, not just Thomas. So how come is Thomas the one to get singled out? How come Thomas has to carry the label Doubting Thomas through the centuries? Why don't we have labels like Pagan Peter or Unbelieving James or Matthew the Infidel? The fact is that not a single one of them truly believed until they saw Jesus in the flesh. And the fact of the matter is that the entire crew failed miserably. They were an embarrassment as disciples. That is what makes some of the other things that happen today in today's gospel truly amazing. First of all, Jesus showed up among them, and the words out of his mouth were, "Peace be with you." You know, he had every right to scold them vigorously. He could have said something like this, "You boneheads, I told you geniuses again and again and again that I was going to suffer, that I was going to die, and I was going to rise from the dead. You know, I have seen rocks next to the road that have a better understanding of my words than you do." Now, Jesus did not say that, but he could have. Jesus had every right to come on like that, but he did not. Instead, Jesus came and stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." And then he said this, he showed them his hands and he showed him his side. Jesus not only gave them his peace, but he invited them to check out the wounds of the crucifixion, his hands, his side. Jesus was full of grace and friendship. There was no condemnation whatsoever. Now, as if that was not crazy enough, Jesus took it up a notch. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And with these words, Jesus said that he is an apostle. We know that an apostle is the sent one, a sent one. So Jesus is saying that he is the apostle from God the Father. And in turn, his words appointed this group of underachievers as apostles, as sent ones. They are now sent from God the Son. And then we read that Jesus gave them special authority. He breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Jesus has just given the Holy Spirit to this small group of disciples, and he has given them authority to forgive and the authority to withhold forgiveness. All right, so let's just think about this for a minute. A few days earlier, Jesus endured false arrest, sadistic abuse at the hands of soldiers, several rigged trials where the priests were actually examining the perfect Lamb of God to find a blemish, and there just wasn't any. And he, in obedience, he endured those beatings, the floggings, the mocking, and the death by crucifixion. And during this process of abuse, he also endured the full wrath of God against your sins, against my sins, against the sins of the entire world. And he did this in order to purchase the forgiveness of sins for you. And now, he has taken that dearly won forgiveness of sins, and he has placed it in the hands of this group of underachievers. It cannot be overstated how strange and wonderful and amazing and bizarre and unusual that this is. That is, that Jesus would place his forgiveness in the care of these men. Men who a few hours earlier in the day had refused to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. Jesus has given his forgiveness to the church. In the small catechism, it covers this authority to forgive sins when it discusses the office of the keys. In there, it is written a question. It's the small catechism with explanation. And one of the questions is, what is the office of the keys? Well, the office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners. But to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. Then there's another question in the small chism. It says, well, where is that written? This is what St. John the Evangelist writes in chapter 20. The Lord just breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." John 20, verses 22 and 23. Pretty straightforward. And then the question is, well, what do you believe according to these words? And the response is, I believe that when called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and they absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain even in heaven, as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. Pretty bold statement. Some of you may be going, whoa, 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 whoa. Did you just say that you, Pastor, are forgiving my sins? And the answer is no. I declare to you that Jesus has forgiven you your sins. Stay with me. This is important. So we exercise this authority earlier in the service. When you heard me say, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. And as your called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. These words are so precious and so valuable that even if the rest of the service is a total bust, if the sermon is dull, if the hymns are hard to sing, you or your neighbor are out of tune, let's just say. That doesn't happen here. No matter what goes wrong in the rest of the service, it is worth it to come just to hear those words of forgiveness. For those words of forgiveness, we receive the very forgiveness that Jesus gave to those underachieving disciples on the very day that he rose again from the dead. The same forgiveness. And there is great comfort for us in today's gospel reading. You know, all of us have messed up. We all fail regularly. This is a characteristic that we share with the disciples. Peter was notorious for sticking his foot in his mouth. And Jesus sometimes referred to James and John as the sons of thunder because of their temperaments. Apparently, guys had anger issues. All these disciples said that they were ready to die for Jesus, and then they all ran away. Today's gospel tells us that they were in a locked room out of fear. And when you consider your shortcomings and your failures, you can know that you are not all that different than these disciples. And just as Jesus came to these disciples with his peace and his forgiveness, he also comes to you today. The forgiveness that Jesus earned on the cross is for you. Today's gospel teaches that you receive it when you hear the words of absolution from your pastor. You also hear other verses in the scriptures that teach you that you also receive forgiveness whenever you hear the gospel of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins. You know, we have the promise of Jesus Christ himself that we received in the water of holy baptism. And we receive it in the bread and the wine that are his body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. Jesus comes in all these ways to bring peace and to bring forgiveness to you. Now, Luther said once, he preached this, he said, it is a great and excellent thing for the mouth of every honest minister and preacher to be Christ's mouth, and for his word and forgiveness to be Christ's word and forgiveness. If you sin and confess it, believing on Christ, then your minister and preacher will forgive you the same sin in Christ's place. And the words which he speaks on God's behalf, you ought to accept as if Christ himself had spoken them to you. That's pretty heavy for a pastor. What an amazing thing it is that Jesus has promised to deliver the forgiveness of sins through the mouths of sinful men who are called to be pastors. This is an amazing thing. And an honest pastor knows more than anyone how sinful he is. He knows that he is not worthy to utter those words of forgiveness. And despite that, regardless, this sinning pastor can cheerfully forgive the sins of his people because it is Jesus who makes the promise. It is Jesus who forgives. The pastor is only the humble servant, a waiter, if you will, who brings the gifts of Jesus to God's people. What an amazing peace. What an amazing forgiveness. What an amazing Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen.